You'll find my text this morning in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. These words in particular, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. It is indeed a fitting motto text that I want you to take with you in 2012. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Israel had been redeemed out of Egypt. Read Exodus chapter 12 and you'll see that. And how God brought his people out of the house of bondage. It was a mighty deliverance by the stretched out hand of God. And when we come to chapter 14, we discover that Pharaoh had second thoughts about releasing the children of Israel. The Word of God tells us there, And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his army pursued after them. You can imagine the scene. Israel had been liberated. But now, of course, they were being followed. They look round, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And the Bible tells us in verse 10, they were sore afraid. And the people who had been filled with delight were now filled with dread. And the Bible tells us here that they cried out unto the Lord. And it tells us also in verse 11, that they complained to Moses. And Israel lamented on that occasion. And the Bible tells us here in verses 11 and 12 that they looked back to Egypt. The Lord has redeemed us out of the Egypt of this world. He has liberated us. But now the enemy is pursuing us. The enemy has come in like a flood. And perhaps you find yourself in this service this morning filled with fear. Maybe even you are of a complaining spirit. Maybe you're looking back to the world from which you've been delivered. But Moses gives them words of encouragement and words of exhortation. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Words of encouragement, words of exhortation, words of emancipation. And then, of course, we come to our text. Here, in this particular scripture, words concerning what we need to do at this particular time and what Israel needed to do at their particular time. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Surely here is God's word for us at the commencement of a new year. And as far as this congregation is concerned at this particular time in its history, and a new era has begun, and an era has finished, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I want you to notice some things in this text today for our exhortation and encouragement. First of all, the directive that was clear. Speak unto the children of Israel. Moses was to speak to them. He was to deliver to them the word of God. We could say so many things to you today. But those things of ourselves were of no great importance. They would make no impact. And what you need to hear today and in days to come is the word of God. Listen to God's word today. May your ears be opened. May your heart be attentive to the Word of God. Let the words of men fall to the ground. But let the Word of God, my dear friends, today be written upon your heart. First of all, I want you to see the Word of God is an enlightening Word. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God's people here find themselves in a dark situation. It seemed as if there was no way out of it. The Egyptians were behind them. The mountains were on either side of them. And the sea was before them. And how often we find ourselves in life's experience in such a plight. And then we hear God's Word. And the pathway is enlightened. And the Lord sees us through. He makes a way for us. You remember God's Word came to Gideon in a dark situation in which he found himself. When the Midianites were like grasshoppers for multitude. And God's people were delivered from their hands. It was an enlightening word to the heart of God's man. In Judges chapter 6, verses 12 to 16. And there will be days that are dark in the year that is before us. It will seem that there is no way through for us. Dark in your family. As far as your work situation is concerned. Dark in the school or college in which you find yourself in. Dark even as far as the relationships of life are concerned. But God brings His Word. In such situations of life, to give enlightenment in the darkest days and in the gloomiest of situations. The Word of God is an enlightening Word. But I suggest to you today that the Word of God is an enlivening Word. The Word of God is quick. That means it's living and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God quickened us. And thank God for the quickening power of the Word when we were saved. And here we have a people who believed they were going to die in the wilderness. They believed they were going to perish. They had virtually given up. The optimism that they had when they were delivered out of Egypt had evaporated. And pessimism had taken over. And you know this happens in the lives of many of us, in the circumstances of life in which we find ourselves in. The enemy marches after us, and we seem as if we are overcome and overrun on every side. We see the difficulties and the dangers, and we see no way out. We just want to lie down and die. You remember Elijah, that great servant of God. And all that he had seen accomplished for God. And yet in 1 Kings chapter 19 we read that he said, it's better for me to die than to live. That's how dark his situation was. That's how deep the depression was in his life. Maybe that's where you're at today. I don't know you, but God knows your heart. And your situation and your circumstance of life. But the Lord said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? That's what the Lord said to him. And read that passage over. And discover the Word of the Lord came to him. That's what happened to him. The Word of God was an enlivening Word. How we need the Word of God to come to us today in the midst of a depressing world. When we think that all is lost and no one cares, the Lord comes and He understands and He has a word for us today. In your circumstance of life, He has a word for you, my brother and my sister here today. Even when the journey is too great for us, His Word is an enlivening Word. But then I want you to see today it's not only an enlivening word, an enlightening word, but it's an encouraging word. When you thought there was no way forward, and the people of God thought that here, they thought God had forsaken them. There was a way forward, and the Lord had not forsaken them. And Israel were ready to throw in the towel here, as it were. But God's word through Moses was an encouragement to them not to do that. Remember God's word to your heart today. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's so easy to get discouraged and to say, what's the use? To go off in the huff and to lie down and weep. But God comes with his word of encouragement to lift us up today and to lead us forward. We have had a year in which we mark the 60 years of the Free Presbyterian Church from its beginning. No doubt there were times when the founding fathers of our church were discouraged, were cast down. But the Word of God gave them that encouragement to continue and to go forward. And we are here today, 60 years later, in the will of God. The Word of God is an encouraging word. The Word of God also is an emancipating word. What deliverance it brings through times of darkness and despondency, danger and difficulty. And here we have a people on the brink of defeat in the context of Exodus 14. It seemed as if it was death they faced, but God gave them life. It seemed only a matter of time when the enemy would overcome them. But God's word was a delivering word in that most desperate of situations. David had God's word in facing Goliath. And there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, then said David to the Philistine, thou camest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The battle is the Lord's. You read that in 1 Samuel 17. God gave David and gave Israel victory that day. And God's word is an emancipating word. He will give us victory in the face of defeat. He will give us the victory again and again as we hear and as we heed his word. And I want you to see secondly in this text today the declaration that was concise. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They were to go forward. And we are to go forward today as a church, as a people, as individuals, go forward first of all in the will of God. It was God's will for them to go forward. No going back to Egypt. No going back to its bondage and slavery. No going back to the world or its beggary elements. The hymn writer put it like this, then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray with a conquering tread, we will push ahead and roll the sea away. Paul said, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This church must go forward in the will of God in this year that is before us. It would be so easy to sit back, to take our ease, to look out of our shoulders and see the enemy behind us. See the mountains of difficulty on either side. And to see impossible before us. But God wants us to go forward in the will of God. As Israel were exhorted to go forward so long ago. Go forward in the will of God. Go forward in the work of God. There's a work for Jesus. Ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. He is to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. Young man, young lady, there's a work for you to do in this church. Older person, no matter what your age may be, you have a work to do for God in this congregation. You have a work to put your hand to. God says in His Word, son, go work today in my vineyard. The Lord Jesus Himself said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work. Let us go forward in the will of God. Let us go forward in the work of God. Let us go forward in the worship of God. They came out of Egypt to worship and sacrifice before the Lord. The worship of God was an essential element of their going forward. And it is also to us today an essential element of our going forward. They went forward to the place of sacrifice. They went forward to the place of the altar. The place of the shed blood. And we worship on the basis of the shed blood today. The shed blood of the Lamb. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let us ever have Christ at the center of our worship. Let us never be sidetracked to a worship that is not Christ-centered and God-honoring. Let us never neglect the public worship of God. Let us not spend His day in other enterprises, in worldly pursuits. But let us spend the time, as the confession of faith, which is based on the Word of God, says, in the public and private exercises of divine worship. That's what we believe in this church. We believe in the Lord's Day, in the sanctity of the Lord's Day, and in the worship in God's house on God's Day, and also in our own private worship, in our own homes, with our families on the Lord's Day. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Let us not neglect the private worship in the home, the family altar. Let us erect and establish the family altar. Learn to worship with our families. Open the Bible. Pray with our families. Let's never neglect that. Let us erect and establish that altar in our homes. And let us go forward in the worship of God in the house of God here in Martyrs Memorial in days that are to come. But then we are to go forward as Israel to see the wonders of the Lord. Going forward for these people would mean them stepping into the Red Sea and seeing the wonders of God, in God miraculously dividing the waters and allowing them to go through the sea on dry land. Look at verse 16. Lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Again, the hymn says, when Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down His mighty hand and rolled the sea away. And as we go forward obedient to His commands, we can see miracles take place. God making a way where there is no way. To deliver us out of the enemy's hands. As He did with Israel. Bringing us forward into the land of promise. The place of God's provision for us. The place of God's plenty. To the land flowing with milk and honey. And as we trust God. In days ahead. God will open a pathway forward for us. For you and me, for the work of God in this corner of the vineyard. We will see the enemy overturned. We will see the enemy defeated. We will see the Lord's name glorified. And you look at verses 27 through to 31 in this passage of God's Word, and you'll see how exactly the wonders of God took place. They had never seen a wonder like this before. And may we see as we go forward God's mighty arm made bare in this church, in our land, and in our lives for the glory of His name. The God of miracles still lives today. And God can move and work in a marked and mighty way even in our midst. Yes, we have considered the declaration that was concise. But I want you to see the decision that was called for. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. They would have to make a decision what they would do. Go back to Egypt, or go forward with the Lord and with Moses. And they decided to go forward, to take that step. I suggest to you it meant a step of faith, to believe God, to trust God as to the future. And I put it to you today, in this congregation, in Martyrs Memorial, you need that faith to go forward into the future. Perhaps you felt things were uncertain. But now we must move with God. We must move in His will. We must take that step of faith. We must trust God as to the future. We need faith to go forward into the unknown. There are always people who are unbelieving. They're never prepared to take that step of faith. They will sit on the sidelines whinging and complaining while others take the step of faith. But with God, nothing is impossible. Trust Him. Sometimes God says to us, just trust me. We don't know, we don't understand. But God says, trust me. Just a little faith is sufficient. Faith even as a grain of mustard seed is sufficient. Bible tells us here in verse 22, the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. It was a step of faith. On his voyage to discover America, Columbus, day after day, no land appeared. And again, the sailors threatened mutiny and tried to persuade him to turn back. But Columbus refused to listen. He refused to listen to their entreaties. He entered each day in the ship's logbook two words, sealed on, sealed on. And brethren and sisters, today we must seal on. We must move forward in the step of faith. It meant also not only a step of faith, but it meant staying in the fellowship. They all stayed together. There was no fragmenting or fracturing of the fellowship. They went forward unitedly. This is so important. It's easy for God's people to divide into little groups. One doing one thing or someone else doing another thing. But the church is not to be made up of cliques. The church is a fellowship. The church is a body. Different parts, yet. Different functions, yes. But one body. We must stay together if we are to go forward in unity. There is strength in unity, and unity is strength. The psalmist said in Psalm 133 in verse 1, it's a wonderful psalm about Christian unity, true biblical Christian unity. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The fellowship of the membership of the local church. This is not our family, it's the family of God. We have different personalities. Sometimes we have different outlooks and things. Even we can have differences on minor points of doctrine. We agree on the fundamentals of the faith. I never would agree with people who divide on issues that are non-essentials. We are agreed on the fundamentals. We are Presbyterian in our outlook. We are made up of elders, teaching and ruling elders, deacons and members of the church. We are the fellowship of the church, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are under the rule, the authority given by God to the spiritual oversight of the local church, Christ being the head of the body. They stayed in the fellowship. It meant staying focused. They were focused on going forward, no turning back, no looking back. Sadly, there were many of that first generation of Israelites who kept looking back, and they saw, never saw the promised land, and even Moses himself only saw it from a distance and never entered into it. But it's vital for us to keep our focus. We have a building and suite of buildings here that we need to see the Lord working in, as He had done so mightily and powerfully in days gone by. I came here as a 14-year-old boy and saw this place. I knew the blessing of those years when God visited His people, and God can do it again, my friend. We thank God for all of that. We rejoice in all of that. And God is able to do for us again, far more exceedingly above all that we could ask or even think. Staying focused. Staying fervent. We cannot go forward without being fervent in prayer. We encourage you to the weekly prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings. We encourage you to the prayer meetings before the services. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The church that loses out in prayer loses out. The family that loses out in prayer loses out. The individual that loses out in prayer loses out. Don't lose out in prayer, my friend. Fervent, staying fervent in prayer, fervent in preaching, preaching Christ. This pulpit has been fervent in preaching Christ. The ministry of this pulpit over the years has been preaching Christ. Fervent in presenting Christ to the lost in our soul-winning endeavors, in the outreach ministries of the church, whether it be among the young or middle-aged or older. Fervent in praise. When they crossed the sea and God did the miracle for them, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31 and 15, verse 1, "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." They praised the Lord. There was a song in their hearts. There was rejoicing in their spirits. There was gladness manifested among God's people. Men and women, brethren and sisters in Christ, go forward in 2012. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. These dwindling husks, a handful of dry corn, these poor lean stocks, my courage is outworn. Keep me from turning back. Keep me from turning back. My hand is on the plow, my faltering hand. But all in front of me is untilled land. What have I but this paltry grain? Those saints somehow always disappear. But help us, Lord, to keep the way clear. Help us to go forward. May the Lord help us to go forward here in Martyrs Memorial and in our own hearts and lives in 2012. And if you're not saved, let me say to you today something very simple but very sincere. You need Christ. It is time to seek the Lord. I stood this week at the graveside of a little baby. God was pleased to take that little one. In a few days, I will stand at the graveside of a man in his 80s who died on Friday. I remember the day when he came to Christ. He went to an old Presbyterian church that didn't preach the gospel. His wife was saved in Ballygan. And then he came. He started to come. One Sunday night he came and he said, "Mr. Smiley, I have something to say to you." He said, "This morning as you preached the word, I came to Christ." He was saved. I was with him as he passed toward the end of his life.
passed over the river. But you know, I'll stand at his grave in sure and certain hope for the resurrection. I'm going to meet him one day. His dear wife, meet him one day again. The Bible says it's time to seek the Lord. And you seek him today. If you don't know him, come to know him today. Trust him as your Savior. Let us pray. Father, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon every heart. Lord, may we take encouragement and take the exhortation of thy word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.